Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The book of Acts is our New Testament history book. In its pages, we find the ascension of the Lord, the empowering of the apostles, and the beginning and early history of the church. One of the most important aspects of the book of Acts is its record of how people became Christians. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus told Zacchaeus that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the book of Acts, the scriptures reveal how that salvation was accomplished. There are seven records of conversion in Acts: the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the people of Samaria in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, and Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Today, I want to direct our study to the record of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. This is found in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. This conversion story is significant with respect to who the man was and who he became, and it is also important with respect to the events surrounding his conversion. Certain things that happened to Saul are unique in the records of those who became Christians. These things have been widely misapplied in order to teach a means of salvation that is not revealed in Scripture. As we study together today, we will notice these events and these elements, and we will let the Scriptures reveal what part they played in Saul's salvation. Our first introduction to Saul is in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, where Luke records that the men who were stoning Stephen laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. By this act, that is, by watching over the robes of these men who were stoning Stephen, Saul was showing his approval of their actions. He did not actively participate in Stephen's stoning, but Saul most certainly was in favor of it. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, many years later, he described himself with these words. He said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city, that is Jerusalem, under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today." So we understand that Saul was an educated man and a very zealous man with regard to his faith as a Jew. On another occasion, recorded in Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Scripture says that his zeal led him to advance beyond his peers. So zealous was Saul that in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, the Scripture says, "Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him," that is Stephen, "to death. And on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women, he would put them in prison." Leading up to our text in chapter 9, we find that Saul was vigorously persecuting the church. He was at that time the most serious threat to the body of Christ anywhere in the world. He was far and away from becoming a Christian as humanly possible to be. So this brings us then to our text in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. We're going to read what Luke recorded in that situation. The Scripture says, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do.' The men traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized and took food and was strengthened. Now we have taken the time to read this lengthy record so that we may see the entire context of Saul's conversion. As we stated before, there are several unique features to this case. The first of these is the miraculous appearance of the Lord on the road to the city of Damascus. This event happened sometime after Jesus had returned to heaven, so any appearance he made would have been extraordinary. The reason for Jesus appearing to Saul is actually twofold. The first is that the Lord had chosen Saul to be his special ambassador to the Gentiles and kings, as well as to the Jews, as we read in verse 15. Given Saul's zealous persecution of the church, it seems unlikely that he could have been persuaded to become a Christian under any other circumstances. The second reason for this appearance was to satisfy one of the most important qualifications for a man to be an apostle. An apostle had to have been an eyewitness to Jesus. When the apostles met to select a replacement for Judas Iscariot, as is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, Peter said that the man chosen must have been with them from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. For Saul to become an apostle, he would have to be an eyewitness to the Lord and to his resurrection. Jesus' appearance on the road to Damascus satisfied that need. Two other miracles also attended Saul's conversion. One was that he was struck blind after having seen Jesus, and the second was the miraculous restoration of his sight by Ananias 3 days later. These miracles played no part in Saul's salvation. That is to say, they did not affect his redemption. Not even the appearance of Jesus on the road saved Saul, as we will notice from Scripture in just a moment. What the miracles did, however, was to focus Saul's attention on the Lord and on the message that Ananias would proclaim to him. Saul's hatred for the church was so great that it took an extraordinary series of events to shake him from it. In much the same manner, it took an extraordinary series of events in the conversion of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 to convince Peter and the rest of the Jewish Christians that the Gentiles could be saved. The miracles, then, were a tool to convince everyone involved that this was indeed what the Lord intended for this man Saul. Next, let's focus on what Saul did while he waited for Ananias in Damascus. Verse 9 says that he was without food and drink for 3 days. In verse 11, the Lord told Ananias that Saul was praying. What we have here is a man in the throes of a deep struggle. Saul did everything that we might normally associate with repentance. He fasted and he prayed. This leaves no doubt as to the fact that Saul believed he had seen the Lord, and that he believed now that Jesus was the Son of God, and that he was sorry for his persecution of the Lord's church. His experience up to this point has become the model for many in the religious world today. They require some kind of salvation experience, known only to the one to whom it happens, followed by some demonstration of penitence whereupon they declare salvation to have been received. Some even point to Ananias addressing Saul as brother in verse 17 as evidence that Saul had been saved. Of course, the more likely meaning of this term is that Ananias was addressing Saul as a fellow Jew, since nothing had changed in Saul's relationship toward God up to this point. As Saul would later testify himself in Acts chapter 22, salvation had not yet been granted to him, even though all of these extraordinary events had occurred. The final event in this sequence of events was that Saul was immediately baptized upon regaining his sight. The record in Acts chapter 9 does not tell us what Ananias said to prompt such a response, but it is important that we recognize that Saul was baptized, just as in every other conversion record that we find in the book of Acts. Even though he personally saw the Lord, even though he experienced miraculous powers exercised upon himself, and even though he fasted and prayed for 3 days. So the question naturally arises, why is it that Saul was baptized? If we believe what some teach today, it was because he had been saved. Some even say that baptism is to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, they say we should be baptized because the Lord commanded it, but they insist it has nothing to do with salvation. This is why it is so important for us to understand Saul's conversion. You see, what happened to Saul lays to rest once and for all any notion of salvation by faith alone or by so-called miraculous intervention. We know this because of what Saul himself said about his conversion. In Acts chapter 22, many years after his conversion, now known as the Apostle Paul, he gave him a detailed accounting of his conversion before a group of Jews in Jerusalem. After telling them of the appearance of Jesus on the road to Damascus, he gave an extended recollection of what Ananias said to him on that occasion. In Acts chapter 22, verses 12 through 16, Paul said, "A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very time I looked up at him. And he said, 'The God of your fathers, our fathers, has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" From Paul's own testimony about his conversion, we learn the rest of the story about that conversion. And we learn the reason for him being baptized on that occasion. Saul of Tarsus had personally seen Jesus in a miraculous appearance on the road to Damascus. He had spent 3 days while blind, fasting and praying in the city of Damascus. The preacher who came to him had miraculously restored his sight and had revealed that Saul had been selected by God to carry the message of salvation to the world. But after all of that, Saul was still in his sins. None of these extraordinary events had saved him. There can be no other reason for Ananias to tell Saul to get up and wash away his sins by being baptized. You see, Saul believed when he saw Jesus. His fasting and praying signified his penitent heart, and he had received a call from God. Yet, by Saul's own testimony, he was not saved until he had been baptized, because only then were his sins washed away. The Lord required of Saul what he requires of everyone who wishes to be saved. In Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." As we read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, Saul obeyed this command immediately upon receiving his sight. If a man such as Saul of Tarsus could be converted to Christ, so can each one of us. We just need to open our eyes to God's word and follow his commands. Saul did not delay once he understood what he must do to be saved, and neither should we. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you ready to turn away from your sins? Are you willing to confess your faith in Jesus? Then why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.